This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Adam Berry, MLB.com. He joins us here on the Fan Morning Show on the hotline. I just looked up the temperature. It's Valentine's Day in Bradenton, FLA, Adam. How hot is it there?
At last check, it was 69 degrees, and I'm not making that up.
Apropos, Fan Morning Show, having a great time on Valentine's Day. All right, so I heard Francisco Cervelli talk, and we played the clips from yesterday when he was talking, and he called Andrew McCutchen the king of Pittsburgh. We know about the on-the-field stuff, the home runs, the RBIs, everything that comes with it. Tell me how these guys are getting over the fact that their face is gone, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that's actually the toughest part of it right now, is just kind of walking in and not seeing him or his jersey right now hanging in that corner locker and, you know, knowing he's the kind of the guy who would speak up when something needed to be said, or he was the guy who would get out in front, and he was the guy who would answer all the questions, you know, when there was a big picture, conversation about the team. And I think that's kind of going to be one of the more interesting off-the-field developments of this spring, is who sort of steps into that kind of leadership role, you know, who emerges and says, I'm going to be the guy. And I don't know if it's necessarily going to be one person. You would think Josh Bell would make some sense there, but it's going to be interesting to see them sort of redevelop this leadership group, I guess, because that's a place where I don't think you can replace McCutchen. I talked to Sean Rodriguez, and he said pretty much the same thing. That's not a guy you replace on or off the field.
Anticipate Josh Harrison coming in with what kind of demeanor? Obviously, his friend's gone. He went through some ups and downs. He even suggested him leaving as well. But he's going back to the one thing he loves doing, and that's playing baseball. No one had a better time doing it, and it was infectious. Do they anticipate that Josh Harrison coming back, or one that might have a little chip?
I think so. I think they expect sort of the initial anger and sadness to have faded a little bit. And I think they had some conversations with him about what they're trying to do, which is sort of build around this young core. And, you know, they're going to say they hope to contend. I think they more realistically just want to be competitive this year. And, you know, some of the guys in there believe it. I know, you know, like I said, I talked to Sean. He went through a very similar range of emotions just without the public trade request. You know, you get upset because these are your friends. And for Harrison, it was his best friend on the team. And all of a sudden, he's the longest tenured guy in the clubhouse, and he's got to figure that out. And, you know, is this team trying to win? Are they trying to compete? Do I have a chance to win here? I'm at the point of my career where that's what I want to do. That's my only priority. So I think if they've made him that promise and, you know, they back it up in some realistic way, or he sees down here that, you know, maybe this team is a little better than I gave it credit for, then he'll be fine. Harrison, like you said, he's an infectious personality. He's always a happy guy. I think it's going to be tough for him to step into this clubhouse and not see those guys here, but my expectation is that he'll be in a pretty good mood. But you're not going to – I don't think he has the anger in him and to come in here and express that.
And, you know, Adam, what's weird here is that, you know, you talk about team leaders and guys that can step up, and Josh is obviously one of them. Jordy Mercer would be another, and yet by the time August rolls around, both of those guys could be gone. And do you think that they – I mean, how will they handle that? Because, you know, can we speak for the team and speak for our teammates when they know that they're probably the next guys out the door?
Yeah, I think that's a perfectly fair question. It's going to be interesting to see – you know, what they view as their future here. Mercer's a pending free agent, and just if you're a Pirate and you have 1 year left on your contract, you have to know it's on the table, especially with some of the young shortstops we're going to see here with Kevin Newman and Cole Tucker, who are not far behind in AAA and AA. He's got to know the clock is ticking to a certain extent. So, yeah, can you be the leader? Are you going to step up? Are you worried about your own situation personally? Same thing for Harrison. You know, he heard the trade rumors this offseason. He publicly requested one. So it's kind of hard to, you know, to be upset about trade rumors when you publicly request a trade. So I think Harrison will handle that fine, and Mercer has to know at this point. He's been around long enough to see what happens to guys as they near the end of their contracts. But it more depends, I think, on what they do on the field that's going to determine, you know, how the clubhouse reacts to it.
Do you think that, now you mentioned that Harrison may have had some conversations with Neil Huntington, and Huntington said if he wants to come in, I will show him you know, the I guess the analytics and all the stuff that they look at. Do you think that Josh will take him up on that offer to go into his office in Bradenton and have Neil lay down all the stuff that they look at?
I mean, they definitely spoke on the phone at length. It was the same thing for Sean, who was reported already. He talked about, you know, running through the guys that they got and how they fit in right away. And, you know, I think the argument really is just that, like, the last 2 years weren't good enough. You know, and those guys, even coming back, they still would have required a lot to go right to contend this year. And I think you basically just have to make the same argument this year. Listen, it's going to take a lot to go right, but we have some young guys to build around now going forward, and we want you to be a part of that. And I don't know how receptive they'll be to it. Again, I've always said that nobody has a must-trade clause in their contract, so he could be unhappy, but he's still going to be here.
Forget the nuanced questions. How about a simple one? Who's a left fielder?
Great question, actually. That's the most simple and yet the most unanswered one heading into camp. I my guess right now is Adam Frazier is going to get the bulk of the reps out there. Jordan Luplo seems like a guy who could factor into that if he has a good spring. My guess is it's not going to be just one guy every day until Austin Meadows is ready and comes up. I think you'll see Frazier, Rodriguez, Luplo, probably Daniel Nava if he makes the club out of spring training. Neil Huntington told me last week that there are still guys in the market that they're interested in, but you know, it's the middle of February right now. If they've been interested and they haven't found a deal at this point, it's hard to imagine that happening anytime soon.
When you look at Clint Hurdle, every year it seems he got a little shorter at a certain time in the year, frustration-wise. He has to almost clean slate this whole thing. Everyone there seems to have a name tag, but he seems to be the manager with the personality that can probably pull this off and make it easier for this transition with all the new faces, with his personality.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think what he said, I guess it was last month, he went on MLB Network Radio and was talking about, you know, letting fans feel what they need to feel, because he understands, like, there's anger. There should be anger. People should be upset that McCutchen and Cole are gone. That's tough to lose players that you like and love and players who are very good. But, you know, he also has that very positive, upbeat mentality of looking toward the future and trying to – I think he's really going to lean into the underdog thing this year. And, yeah, I've seen it work in the past. I was in – you know, I saw Tampa Bay in 2011. That team shed, like, $20 million, $30 million in payroll – played that memorable game 162 and wound up in the postseason. I think, you know, Sean mentioned that earlier. I think Hurdle's going to lean into that. You know, and it seems to be more of a positive environment than most people would have expected when you step into the actual clubhouse down here. And I think Hurdle plays a pretty significant part in just sort of creating that atmosphere. And again, it's easy to be positive right now. Everybody's, you know, 0-0. Anyone can be anything if you use enough imagination. It's going to be interesting to see if that short period comes, if they do struggle, and when they do struggle at some point during the season.
All right, Adam Berry, that big Desmond Jennings, John Jaso, Elliot Johnson, Tampa Bay Rays team that was so good.
That's right.
Yes.
Elliot Johnson, man.
Oh, man, the players on that team. All right, thank you so much, Adam. We will chat soon.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
Take it easy, Adam. That team was – that division, Jim. I mean, that was that AL East when it was going in like 20. I mean, everybody had 100 wins or had the potential to win 100.
I was going to say, kind of like the NL Central.
It was crazy. It was really crazy, and it was unbelievable. Just the way the teams hit the baseball out of the park, too.
Yep.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.